Good morning.
Good morning.
And I... Oh, I got the wrong... Went to the wrong school. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." That's an Old Testament scripture that some believe is talking about Israel, some believe is talking about the Lord. But for us in the New Testament, for us in this day, the Lord rises on us when we rise up in him. So, Lord, we do. We choose to arise this morning. Lord, we choose to focus our hearts and our minds on you, Lord. We choose, Lord, to set aside any distractions, any lies of the enemy. Lord, we choose to focus, Lord, on what you have accomplished for us on Calvary. What you have accomplished, Lord, when you ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Lord, we thank you that you have made a way, Lord, where there seemed to be no way for mankind. And Lord, we are part of that gift now of eternal life. We receive it, Lord, fresh in our hearts, and we are going to gratefully respond to you for that love that you've shown us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your
ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and He calls. Bring it all to the table. Bring it all to the table. There's nothing He ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and He calls. Bring it all to the table.
Listening this week to a message, and the pastor said, if you're living in sin, come to church. If you're having premarital sex, come to church. If you are confused about your gender or your sexual proclivities, come to church, because church is the hospital. And this is where people get well. This is where they find their healing. So we all come and we think we're doing okay, but if we have friends who are not, we can still invite them to come and let them know this is where they can find their healing.
This is my surrender. up the ground, fall my tradition, break down the walls, fall my religion. You're always better, you're always better. Shake up the ground, fall my tradition, break down the walls, fall my religion. You're always better, you're always better. Shake up the ground, fall my tradition, break down the walls, fall my religion. You're always better, you're always better. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, do whatever you want to. I'm not here. sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than sorry, and I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Oh, I'm sorry. Nothing else will do. I-
Church and just go start living our lives. It can almost sound hypocritical when we sing that, I just want you. But know this, that God knows our weaknesses. He knows our frailties. He knows that we're just mere men and women. But He lives in us. He lives in us. And when we gather here today, when we sit down to read our word, when we gather with other brothers and sisters, that true depth of who we are, that deep that's in us, that cries to our deep, comes out. And maybe it's not 24/7 that we think of Him, but if we can make it so every day more and more we're more like Him, we're fulfilling that desire to be in His presence, caught up in His presence, sitting at His feet. Lord, we do. We just, right now, Lord, we say we just want You. Lots of other things can grab our attention right now, Lord, but we just want You. And we say nothing else, Lord, nothing else in this life, right at this moment, will do but You, Lord. Help us to get caught up in Your presence, Lord, when we're home alone. Get caught up in Your presence, Lord, when we're just laying in our bed, Lord. Help us, Lord, to, as David did in the middle of the night watches, to think of You and as You're thinking of us. You never stop thinking of us, Lord. Help us to give some of that back to You, Lord. just want you, Jesus. I just want you, Jesus. I just want you. Let nothing else do in our lives. Let nothing else satisfy, Lord. Let nothing else, Lord, be the one thing that captivates us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just do it one more time. I just want you. Someone.
All right, we're going to do our declarations. If you guys would stand with us. And we're going to do this on three together as we declare great things over the house of God. Amen. Amen. So let's do this on three. One, two, three. I declare. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. So God, we just thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy over One Life Family Worship. We thank you, Jesus, for what you continue to do and what you're building in us, God, as a body of Christ. I just pray, Lord, your blessings, Lord, over every person, Lord, that calls this place their home church, and that you would just bless, God, every home, every family, every marriage, every just family represented in this place, God. I thank you, Jesus, just for your continual blessing, Lord, and just pray, Lord, that we would continue to go from glory to glory in all that we do, and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. We only have the one announcement today, and this is in regards to our giving. So we just want to continue to thank everybody for giving to the house of God and what God's doing here at One Life Family Worship. And as always, you guys can give online at onelifefamilyworship.com, as well as the our box up here in the box in the back. And so thank you guys for just your generous hearts. Pastor.
Thank you, bro. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Last week, I got to preach. I called it Without a Net, and it was really, really fun. I don't think I'll do it all the time because it have to really be inspired. But I'm heading back again to the parable series, and today we have the power of the seed. The power of the seed. Now look at that. This is like right at the end of the finger, and that's a seed. That will become something someday when it's planted. And the principle of the seed is got many faceted lessons to it. So today, hopefully, I'll do that justice. Getting a really weird sound, Jess. Is that?
I'm not happy either.
Shall I switch mics? Okay, he's going to play with it. All right, I'll just try to it. What? Maybe a little. I mean, not much. Eric's saying he's yes.
Move back.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, wow.
Go ahead and move your table back, Parker.
Okay.
Yeah. I know you want to be close to us, but the sound.
I do want to be close to you.
Okay. Yeah. We'll have to go unamplified if you want to be
Okay. If I want to be amongst you. Okay. So the power of the seed. Last week I was sharing on the word, and when we came to Psalm 119:105, I communicated how the 119 chapter of Psalms is broken down into 22 different 8-verse sections, and how it works out that 105 is, I don't think that's it, Jesse, because it's still doing it. I'm going to go ahead and switch mics because I'm hearing it really loud behind me. It's kind of bugging me. So is that okay?
Well, it's because you're in front of the speakers. You're hearing yourself in the speakers.
Okay. Wasn't like that last week. So anyway, pretty much kind of the middle of Psalm 119. And the word that it brings out is, or the letter that it brings out is nun, is what it's called. And I shared how it means seed and how that the word is like a seed to our life. And it means that it's like a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so in the new English translation, it says, your word is a lamp to walk by and a light to illumine my path. And then in the New Living Translation, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. And so communication really brought in my heart the idea of seed. And then I started thinking, okay, so there's many different illustrations of seed in the New Testament Jesus used. So hopefully today we'll be able to glean and learn and grow from these illustrations that he gives. So the first lesson that I want us to receive from the seed is the smallest becomes the greatest in the kingdom. The smallest becomes the greatest in the kingdom. Some would say the least becomes the more. The less becomes the more. Jesus said this, he who wants to be great in the kingdom of God must be servant of all. And, you know, the servant is usually figured, this guy's the low one. So much that when Jesus was being in the role of a servant and washing his disciples' feet, they said, Peter did especially, no, Lord, don't wash my feet. You're the Lord. You know, I'm supposed to serve you. And Jesus says, I need to do this, Peter, or you're not going to have any part of me. And he says, well, do my whole body then. But Jesus was illustrating, and he said, as I've done here for you, do with each other. And it wasn't just to wash feet, it was to be a servant to each other. So this idea, the smallest is the greatest in the kingdom. So if we go to Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32, Jesus is telling his disciples, here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. So Jesus is saying, here's an illustration. Here's one about the kingdom of God. And a lot of times, when it talks about the seed, it is illustrating the idea of the kingdom of God. This particular one is saying that a mustard seed is like, when it's planted in the field, is like the kingdom of God. And so how does it relate? It says it is the smallest of all the seeds. Now, this is a disputed idea that it is the smallest of all seeds. I believe that if Jesus meant that it was the smallest of all seeds, maybe at that time it was the smallest of all seeds. I found out that actually seeds can change within like 10 to 60 years. They could actually change the way they're formed. They could be bigger or smaller. But at this particular time, Jesus is communicating that this is the smallest of seed, let's say in the garden, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows into a tree, and the birds come and make nests in its branches. Now, I don't know about you, but most of the time, a bird to make a nest in a branch is usually pretty good size, wouldn't you say? I mean, it's got to have some ability to hold that nest. So this idea here of the mustard seed being planted into the ground, and that little tiny seed that we were looking at a minute ago, it goes into the ground, and it produces something that is 2,000 times bigger than it. And that's like the kingdom of God. What does that mean for us? I believe that means that when we get saved, when we come into the kingdom, when we come into Christ, that what we see, what appears in the mirror when we start looking in the mirror, isn't really who we are. We got, you know, when Peter is being, I guess for lack of a better term, blessed with Jesus' presence in his boat, when he's doing that short little sermon in the water, and afterwards he says, hey, throw down your net, and he brings in this big, huge haul of fish, and it was so much that he had to have his friends in the other boats, his partners, come over and help him get the fish in the boat. And then right away, Peter says, Lord, depart from me. I am a sinner, you know. And Jesus looks at Peter, and he sees the seed. But he doesn't just see the seed, he also sees who Peter can be. And he says, Peter, you're going to be a giant tree someday, and you're going to be a fisher of men. You're going to catch men. He doesn't see Peter in his broken state. He doesn't see Peter. He does see, obviously, Peter, who he can be. But Jesus has the ability, and sometimes we all can have that ability where God shows us somebody that is in a certain condition and shows us who they could be in God. That's that seed being planted and becoming fruit, and I believe fruit that remains. In the Amplified, it says this way. Another story by way of comparison he set forth before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Of all the seeds, it is the smallest, but when it is grown, it is the largest of the garden herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and find shelter in its branches. So again, he's comparing this mustard seed, wish I had one here, you wouldn't be able to see it anyway, it's a little tiny thing, and he's comparing it to the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? I mean that we have to apply that to our life. If you're looking at your life right now, saying, well, my life hasn't become much, well, I believe if you can yield and surrender to the work of God in your life, you will become that tree. You will become that tree that others can pick the fruit off of and eat of it and have life imparted to them. Now, somebody's not going to start picking stuff off your body, but I'm saying that they're going to be able to receive what you have to give, and it will be like fruit to them. It will be like life to them. Amen? Okay, let's look. This is kind of a picture of what a mustard seed looks like. If you look there, that upper part by the dime is like the pod. And so all of those little seeds are in that pod. And they become, however the wind blows them or however they're planted, they become what becomes the mustard plant. And I found this picture online, and it shows an individual, that's a man standing there, and it shows him standing in front of a mustard plant. That looks like something birds could make their nest in, doesn't it? Also looks like something I don't want in my backyard. Anybody else? It looks like it kind of grows almost like zucchini. It just goes crazy. Has anybody ever planted a zucchini plant? Has anybody ever seen the zucchini plant in with the other plants? Like the corn or pumpkin will do the same thing. For whatever reason, those root squash plants go everywhere. Well, this looks like what this does. But that man looks like he's at least 5'5", and you know, it's probably close to a 15-foot plant. They say that a mustard plant, there's also a mustard tree. Did you know that there's also a mustard tree? I found that out. You know, when you start researching this stuff, there's a mustard plant, which is where we get the mustard herb for, you know, when you put mustard on your hot dog. That's what we're talking about now. We're talking about mustard. That comes from that mustard plant. But there are also mustard trees that get as big as like a full-grown oak or something. So anyway, that little tiny seed becomes that. And Jesus is saying, this is like the kingdom of God. This is the way the kingdom of God works. And we'll see at the very end how the one seed that was planted has produced all of this. In Mark, this is another passage where Jesus is communicating again to his disciples, and he's telling them about the mustard seed, and this is Mark testifying to it. Says Jesus said, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. And then Luke says this. This is Luke 13, 18, 19. Then Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It is like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden. It grows and becomes a tree, and the birds make nests in its branches." So again, this was the lesson that we're learning here. The smallest becomes the greatest in the kingdom. I think it was John the Baptist who said, "My ministry is coming to end, so I must decrease and he must increase." And, you know, that was John saying he's going to get out of the way. But that principle of us decreasing, in other words, Mike Lindell decreases and Christ increases in me. And so that small seed of my salvation, as I decrease, Christ grows up in me. And then I end up becoming, hopefully, that light and that life to others. The next lesson I want us to learn, and is in the Word, is even a small amount of faith can accomplish mighty things. Even just a tiny bit of faith can accomplish mighty things. So we're going to Matthew chapter 17. Now this is the story where Jesus is coming off the mountain after the transfiguration. And he's coming down, and three of his disciples are with him, and they saw the transfiguration. He told them, "Don't tell anybody about this till after I'm crucified." And then as they come down, his other disciples are dealing with the situation. All these people are like, you know, in an uproar because this father brought his son, who had been demon-possessed, to the place where he would be a epileptic and fall into the fire, and he would fall into the water, and he wanted his child to be delivered, because Jesus is the one who was delivering people. And so he ends up going to his disciples, because Jesus isn't there, and they couldn't do it. They could not cast out whatever this was inside of him. Now, they were surprised because they had cast out others before, but they were not able to cast out this particular one. And so Jesus then rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. From that moment, the boy was well. How many know that when Jesus does things, he does things well?
So good.
When God does something for us, he does them well. He doesn't do them halfway. And verse 19, afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately, "Why couldn't we cast out that demon?" In other words, this, we're not used to this, Jesus. Why couldn't we do that? And he said to them in this particular passage, "You don't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain," probably the same mountain that he had just come off of, "move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." Just the faith of a mustard seed. A mustard seed smaller than that, but that's all it takes. So what is he truly saying here? Because obviously the disciples had faith. They'd been following Christ. But I believe that this faith is demonstrating that we are emptying ourselves. We're not relying on our own strength. We're not relying on our own power. I believe they probably, you know, these are the ones who had been sent out. They had you know, healed the sick. They had done those things that Jesus asked them to do when they all went to their different places, Decapolis, and they all split up. And they went in two by twos, and at one point 70 went with them, and they did mighty works. And so what is this saying? This is saying that they came back. This situation came. We're just going to do what we did before. And guess what? It didn't happen. And I believe there's times in our life that we see God move. He does mighty things. And then we get into another situation and we just expect him to do it the same way. We expect him to deliver us that same way again. Or we expect him to work in our lives that same way. But you know, God doesn't work that way. You know, Moses was told to hit the rock the first time. And he basically hit a rock and all of Israel had water. Over 1 million people. That's a lot of water coming out of a rock. And Moses had another opportunity where they needed water. And God said, speak to the rock. He changed his way that he was supposed to do things. And the people were complaining and grumbling, and Moses got mad, and he hit the rock. You know what that kept Moses from doing? Going into the promised land. Just because he didn't speak to the rock, he hit the rock. Some would say, well, that's not very fair of God. God was showing the rest of Israel, listen, you have to do things my way. Yeah, it worked one time, but it wasn't supposed to work that way this time. I can't tell you why he was supposed to speak to the rock. I mean, you could probably go into the Word and find illustrations and say, that's why he was supposed to speak. No, the true thing is because God commanded it. And there's certain things that happen in our life, and we think we're going to, you know, go the same process that we did before, and guess what? God's got other plans, because he wants us to. I would say that he was probably trying to teach the children of Israel something about the rock, because we know that in another place, Paul says that rock that followed them was who? It represented Jesus. So hitting the rock, I don't know why that. Maybe that represented, you know, Jesus being crucified. Speaking to the rock, maybe that was representing prayer. I don't know for sure, but it never got illustrated because he hit the rock again. Okay. Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 6. So watch yourselves. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there is repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks forgiveness, you must forgive. We started off the whole series, The Power of Forgiveness. The apostle said to the Lord, whoa, show us how to increase our faith. So in other words, how am I going to forgive somebody 7 times? Especially if they're like, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. And then you turn around and guess what? They did it again. And this is the same day. So they're going, Lord, show us how to do this. Increase our faith. The Lord answered, if you had faith, even as a small mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, I've never seen a mulberry tree uprooted from the ground and planted in the sea. I've never asked for that to happen. And I don't know if it's necessary for it to happen. But Jesus is saying something here, that little tiny bit of faith. And what is it? Isn't it faith in our faith? Is it in faith that I've learned the word enough and received the truth enough, and now that I've matured enough that I can speak to this situation? No, I believe, again, that little faith is saying, I'm nothing. I'm nothing without him. Because I'm relying 100% on him, I can say to this situation, whatever it is, because I'm relying on him to do it, not me, not my ability to read through the word, not my ability to have seen miracles or whatever it is in your life, not my ability to have seen me go through lots of different things. It's my ability to trust him. And I believe when we do that, even a small amount of faith can accomplish mighty things. Amen. All right, here's another lesson. The Lord is working even when we don't see him working. And we have a song, never stops working. He's always working, right? He's a way maker. He always makes things happen. Well, here's an actual illustration of that truth. In Mark again, chapter 4, 26 through 29, Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground, night and day while he sleeps or awake. While he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. So, night and day, while he's awake and while he's asleep, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. I think maybe now we have a little bit better idea what's going on with the germination and all of that because of science. But still, I don't think we truly understand the depths of the miracle of a seed. I think there's things about it that, and you know, it's makeup in the very, very small realm that we still probably don't understand. Then it says, the earth produces the crops on its own. First a blade pushes through. Then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. You guys know about harvest, right? Now, I don't think you plant many seeds of apple trees anymore. They're trees that are sometimes, 3-4 foot tall already, aren't they? That somebody else has nurtured them and got them to that place. But originally, probably somewhere, there was a seed that started that. And that seed produced harvests, and harvests that are abundant in harvest. One tree can produce, I don't know how many trees. Have you guys ever heard exactly how many trees? One tree or one seed can produce how many trees? Because just think, it's going to produce a tree, but what's that tree have on it? More seeds, right? And then those seeds go in and they produce more. So is it millions from one seed? Possibly. But the thing is that this happens without us really knowing how it happens. And it happens when we're asleep and happens when we're awake. Now, why is this important? Because it says the kingdom of God in our lives is like this. And this is where I want to hit it home, where basically when you're walking through life and it doesn't look like anything's going on with your spiritual life, maybe because you're busy, maybe because you haven't had an opportunity to give the devotion to the Lord like we were praying about earlier in the transition of the service. He is still allowing that seed to grow in you. Things are still happening. You know, you can be away from the Lord for a while, and there's a miracle of what is going on under the scenes. And then you can come back and you can be restored, or you can receive like a new breath that you've received from heaven. And it's as if you haven't lost that time, because God was working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, there's obviously things that you probably don't know because you haven't been getting the word in your heart, but that the power of what's been growing there when you've been you've been spiritually asleep. You haven't been fully awake of what he's doing. You haven't been aware of what he's doing. There's still growth that's taking place. And then all of a sudden you go, what happened? I mean, I haven't been walking with the Lord for a while, or I haven't been hard after him for a while. How come I grew so much? Because you were growing. You were growing. That's why that song means, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't hear you, you're working. Even when I can't feel you, you're working. To me, that's good news. Because it means that it's not all up to me for my spiritual growth. Because if it was all up to me, folks, I wouldn't be standing here. It's God's grace. It's God's seed that he planted in me that's growing. Now, can I nurture it? Yes. You know, can I make it grow maybe stronger and be more available for others? Yes, I can do that. I can yield. But it still doesn't take away that he's doing things while I'm not aware of it. And he's making me into something that is his workmanship, not my workmanship. Not something, look what I've done in my own strength. Look who I've become as a Christian. I thought that as an early Christian that I had to do that. I had to learn, had to study, had to develop all of these characteristics that would make me an okay Christian or an acceptable Christian. You know, I was able to hold the label Christian well. I wouldn't bring God dishonor in my life. But because of that, I thought it was about me. You know, I had to do all these things to grow. And you're saying, well, Pastor Mike, you said earlier, did you read? Yes, we do all those things. But it's still not up to me. It's him who's at work in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen? We're like a seed. And the final thing is death is required for new life. This is just an enjoyable one when you think about it. How many of us want to die? One? Okay. Well, there's other types of death. There's death of our own will. There's death of our own ways. There's death of our own dreams. And the beauty of it is, when we die to those things, He gives us more. When we yield and surrender our future, He gives us a future that's better. Now, it may include that future. It may include what we gave to Him. Oh, I thought I gave this to you. You did, and I'm giving it back. But now it has my grace on it. Now it has my empowerment of what I want to accomplish in you at this time. Instead of you trying to grope and grab and attain what you think you need. So death is required for new life. John chapter 12, verses 20 through 24. Some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. They said, "Sir, we want to meet Jesus." So this is towards the end of Jesus' ministry on earth. And these Greeks who had heard about all the great things that Jesus has done, they came and said, "We want to meet this guy. We want to spend some time with him because we've heard who he is. We've heard what he's done. Please give us an audience with him." And Philip told Andrew about it. And they went together to ask Jesus. And then Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives." Who is this kernel of wheat? It's Jesus. And I think in another one of the Gospels, it basically says that he's done with his earthly ministry. He's ready to go to the cross. The only people he's going to be talking to now is his disciples, giving them their final instructions. So Jesus says, it's time for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. Doesn't sound like very glorious what he's about to go through, does it? Being beaten, beat up, being accused, falsely accused of things, having his beard pulled out, crown of thorns, his whole body being lacerated with the cat of nine tails, a whip, scourging, having his hands and his feet pierced, being nailed to a cross, making in such a way that he has to push up on his bones to be able to breathe. But he said, to enter into his glory. That kernel of wheat was about to die. Jesus was about to die. And he was letting him know that his death was him entering into his glory. It says, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised its shame." For the joy that was set before him. There was a joy that he understood was coming to his heart, even though he was going to go through that brutal moment. Then it says, when it's planted in the soil, it dies, but it remains alone. That's one thing about this seed here that we're talking about, is that when it's planted, it no longer lives. It dies. It gives up its life so that other lives can be born. So a seed is actually a perfect illustration of not only the kingdom for us, but Jesus himself. He was that seed who went into the ground, literally, and died for you and I, took hell on for us so that we didn't have to go to hell. He became sin who knew no sin, so we could become righteousness in God. Amen? And because of this death that he died, this kernel of wheat that died for us, which a kernel is a seed, there's now a plentiful harvest of lives, of new lives. Guess what? Look around. Look around this room. We are part of that harvest. Now, how does that relate to us? I believe, again, when we surrender what we love and we give it up for God and for others, that new life is born. Others have opportunities of hearing the good news and receiving what we have. And what is that? That is the gift of life, the gift of God. We have received God himself, and we now have that opportunity to give him to others. Amen? So, lessons from the seeds again. The smallest becomes the greatest in the kingdom. Or the less becomes the most. Or those who empty themselves of their own abilities become more powerful in God. Next one, even a small amount of faith can accomplish mighty things. Doesn't take much faith. But it's not faith in your faith, and it's not faith in your abilities, and it's not faith in what you've accomplished in the past. It's faith in God. It's faith in that little bit of who he's made you to be and the massiveness of who he is. There was a time that we were over at the other building, and an individual was in a room, and they were dealing with like demonic issues. And it was like him yelling and everything, and just kind of going, you know, creating an upheaval. I think it was during a youth night, and I just happened to be over at the church. And they said, "Pastor Mike, something weird's going on here." I said, So I walked in that room, and the person started like, you know, acting up. And one of the revelations that the Lord's grace has given me is that greater is he who's in me than he that's in the world. That seed that's in me is greater than any other massive demonic power in the world. And so I just started speaking to this individual and started really ignoring even the demonic manifestation, tried to talk to the person, because the demon just wanted to create havoc. You know, the oppressive spirit, whatever you want to call it, just wanted to create chaos. And so what am I saying here is that the small faith that I had wasn't in necessarily what I had learned or who I was. It was in the fact that that seed, that wheat kernel that died, now lives in me. And so the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And so they weren't dealing necessarily with me. They were dealing with the kingdom behind me that I represented. So even a small amount of faith can accomplish mighty things. And then the Lord is working even when we don't see him working. That's just one you have to trust me, because I can't prove it, because we can't see it. We just know that he's working. And then death is required for new life. So let me ask you that question. Who wants to die? This kind of death. Not the physical death, but spiritual death, where new life comes. Where we say, "Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done." It's kind of our Garden of Gethsemane moment. So the power of the seed. What is the power of the seed that's been planted in you? I think the only way we truly experience that is living this life for the Lord. And we see what he accomplishes in our life. And we see, "Oh my goodness, I had no idea you could do this and use me to do this. I had no idea that this potential was inside of me." I mean, I bet even though it was anointed and powerful, Peter, the day before, was huddled with 120 in an upper room, and they were praying, you know, just following Jesus' orders, you know, tarry until, you know, the Holy Spirit comes. And, you know, and not really accomplishing anything other than praying. And then the next day, when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, this one just huddling in the corner, the one who betrayed Jesus only probably 20 days or 30 days before, or at least at the very least, said, denied him, which, you know, you deny somebody, it's kind of like betraying them in a way. Now he's standing up in front of who knows how many. We know 3,000 got saved. It could have been 10,000, and he's preaching. And we see him, you know, I bet that night he laid in his bed and said, whoa, what just happened? I bet he still didn't quite grasp the power of that seed that had been planted in him and was birthed on the day of Pentecost. And that can be the same for all of us. We could go through a day, something could take place, we're able to touch a life, or we're able to impact a situation, and we'll go, how did that happen? Is that seed that God planted in you coming to maturity? Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this moment. This moment, Lord, you've given to us again as a seed in our life. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be able to receive your truth, and that seed that you can plant in us now, or that seed that you can germinate that's in us now, or water that's in us now, or do whatever you need to do in us, Lord, for it to grow, to mature, and Lord, to be able to produce fruit, Lord, then fruit that would remain, and fruit, Lord, that would bless others' lives. Lord, we can't do this Christian walk on our own. We totally rely on you, Lord, for all of the fruit that we're going to produce. We thank you, Lord, that you have started this good work in us as a seed. And that your word says, Lord, that you will be faithful, and I will add just and true, to finish that work unto the day of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the results. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we get to be part of the kingdom of God. We get to be part of what you're doing in the earth today. Give us opportunities, Lord. Give us eyes to see, Lord, those opportunities around us. And help us, Lord, be faithful and diligent, Lord, when we see them, and realize that you're empowering us to accomplish them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Caught up in your presence, I just want to sit here. Nothing else.
God bless you. Have a great day. Love y'all.